Hi, I'm Justin.
And I'm David.
And we are the Baseball Guys.
This is our playoff edition of the Baseball Guys. Today we're going to be breaking down the postseason series by series, and we're going to give our thoughts on who we think will win. And I don't know if Justin did this, but I actually picked how many games each team would win.
I did not come into this with games chosen. I'm actually woefully unprepared. I had a meeting today, so I prepared at the last minute. But I will predict games as we go on. It shouldn't be too difficult.
That's all right. That's understandable. I just picked games just to show how close the series actually was.
I think we're in for a very exciting playoff all around.
Oh, yes.
With the exception of possibly one opening series, but obviously yes. We'll get into that. Okay, we're going to start in the American League. We're going to go ahead and roll with the first place Tampa Bay Rays against the Rangers. This one, I don't know. Going into it, I really thought it was going to be a closely matched series, but as I'm looking at the numbers, I don't know. It's still close, but it's such a weird one to call. How do you feel about this playoff series?
I honestly don't know how. Like, I had a very, very hard time finding a winner. But like you said, the stats were close. I'll throw out some numbers there for you.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I looked at with one thing was how each team performed in the last. I went 28 days because it seems like. It's more about which team is the hottest at the right moment.
That'll be an indicator of your momentum.
Right. So the last 28 days, the Rays offense has had an average of 225 with an OPS of 686. They're pitching the last 28 days. They have an ERA of 373 with a whip of 1.26. And their strikeouts, they've had 176 strikeouts in 217 innings, so that's pretty solid. Against the Rangers this season, though, their pitching has a 4.67 ERA with a 1.42 whip, and they've given up 31 runs in six games. The Rangers, on the other hand, have a team ERA of 6.35 against the Rays with a whip of 1.72, allowing 40 runs in six games. So see, while the offensive numbers I thought were very, very close and very similar head-to-head, the pitching was just – it just seemed a lot better on the Rays' part. Like the Rangers just did not look good on the mound. And I think a lot of that had to do with a very memorable Cliff Lee start in which he pitched 7 2/3 innings and gave up six runs and just did not look comfortable at all.
Right. The story of this series is definitely going to be pitching. I think if you go down the entire roster, it really paints the picture. In terms of offense, the Rangers, they have they win the advantage in the outfield, obviously, but for overall lineups, I think you have to go Tampa Bay Rays. We'll start with catcher. For your starting catcher, you've got John Jaso, and for Texas, I think they'll play the matchups, but I think Benji Molina, because of playoff experience, might get the bulk of the starts.
Right.
If they go to their backups, Tampa Bay really wins there because they have Kelly Schopach as their backup as opposed to Texas with Matt Traynor. So in general, I think the catcher matchup, you have to go Rays. Jaso's had a solid year. He was actually one of our potential candidates for Rookie of the Year. And Schopach, he's a professional hitter.
Right.
I mean, Benji, he's up there in age. He has the playoff experience, but I think experience in the playoffs might be a tad overrated. And then
that I thought of when it came to Molina actually in this matchup though was we all know how the Rays love to steal bases.
Yes.
And Benji, while he's not as good as Yadier defensively, but he's still a Molina. He's still a fantastic defensive catcher. So I really think, like, on the base paths, I think that's going to play a difference and play a factor in the series.
Yeah, the Rays definitely are built around speed. You've got Crawford, Upton, Zobrista is known to steal a bag.
Matt Longoria.
Longoria, he's a 20 stolen base threat. He didn't reach it this year, but he's still a threat. First base, you've got Carlos Pena against Jorge Cantu. And if you want to talk about streaky, you talk about Jorge Cantu. I mean, yes. There's times when this guy he looks like an MVP, and there's times when this guy looks like a double-A player.
Well, to be fair, Cantu has had, I'd say, one solid game as a Texas Ranger. Like, ever since the trade, he's done absolutely nothing for the most part.
Yeah, he's not as solid as his reputation is. Peña, on the other hand, his average is usually pretty flat, but he's a power hitter, and I think in the battle of first baseman, you go Carlos Peña over Jorge Cantu.
Right.
For the second baseman, Tampa Bay more than likely start Sean Rodriguez. They might play matchups again here, and they could start Reed Brignac a few times. Texas obviously is going to be starting Ian Kinsler. And
yeah.
That one, I think you give that one to Texas. We'll move to third base. And this one, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Evan Longoria against Michael Young. If this were a few years ago, Michael Young, you'd have a closer matchup. But Michael Young is not the force that he used to be. So the point here has to go to Tampa for Evan Longoria. Right.
I don't disagree there. And not to mention, Michael Young has never even been to the postseason. So
very true.
We don't even know.
That is something to look at. The Rays, for the most part, all of these players have been to the playoffs before, which is surprising to say about the Rays. A couple of years ago, you wouldn't believe you'd be saying that the Rays are playoff proven. If we're moving on to a shortstop, you've got Jason Bartlett against Elvis Andrus. Now, Bartlett's another guy who hasn't repeated the year that he had last year, but he still has very solid numbers. The story with Andrus, he is a stolen base threat, and he and Michael Young really shore up Texas's defense on the left side.
I'm just not sold on Andrus' offense just yet, especially in the postseason. No. I'd give that edge to Bartlett. I would have to.
Yeah. Andrus, at one point, he looked like he'd be a solid 275 to 300 hitter who will get on base and steal, but he hasn't blossomed into that yet. He's still young, so there's a chance. But this year, yeah, I would agree Bartlett would get the advantage. For the outfield, I'm just going to look at it as a core. And you've got Carl Crawford, B.J. Upton, and I'm going to stick Ben Zobrist here as the main starter. And then on Texas side, you've got Josh Hamilton, Julio Bourbon, and Nelson Cruz. On that battle, I definitely have to give to Texas. You've got the MVP candidate and possible MVP in Josh Hamilton. With Nelson Cruz, you've got somebody who, if he gave a full season, he would have probably been an MVP candidate. And Julio Bourbon is a 300 guy that will steal bases.
Well, essentially, it's maybe a flip-flopped order there with you got two power guys and a stolen base threat with Texas. And then with Tampa Bay, you've got essentially three stolen base guys and maybe a little bit of power with Zobrist.
Yeah, and Nelson Cruz is the X factor because while Hamilton is a power strictly guy and Bourbon's a stolen base guy, Nelson Cruz is probably the best all-rounder among all six outfielders from both teams. Cruz is if he has a healthy season, he's a 30-30 candidate. So I think for Texas's offense, it's all going to hinge on Hamilton coming back from the injury and performing like an MVP and Nelson Cruz stepping up.
And just a little side note on Brad Hopp. According to the Tampa Bay Rays website, he was called up on September 1st, so I'm not sure if that makes him eligible for the postseason or not.
I don't believe so. I think you've got to have service time before
September.
Yeah,
I think he can play in the ALCS, but I believe for the first round he is not eligible.
Okay, so he may come into play when we do an ALCS discussion. But for now, I'm going to go forward with the belief that Hop will not be present. Moving on to DH, the Rays don't really have a full-time DH. They really tend to play matchups. But I put Matt Joyce in there as the best candidate out of the bench. I mean, you could go either Matt Joyce or Dan
or
Johnson,
Willie Ibar,
who's looked really high lately. Yeah, Willie Ibar also. But either way, no matter who you plug in, I give the advantage to Texas. They have Vlad Guerrero, who has had a huge resurgence season.
Yeah, even with Johnson, Ibar, and Matt Joyce, Vlad, he's an all-star, and he's, I guess you could maybe say, a dark horse MVP candidate. So I'd say Vlad's offensive numbers are too much, I'd say.
Yeah, I would definitely say advantage Texas there. Moving back to the bench, we already discussed Shopak against Trainer. So if it comes down to either team needing a backup catcher, the Rays have the advantage there. I like the flexibility that Tampa has with its bench. With Willie Ibar and Reed Brignac, both those guys can play second, third, or short. Whereas Texas, they have Andres Blanco who could step in at all three positions, but he's the only candidate, and he doesn't really give you any offensive boost. So if it comes down to using him, I mean, that's not
they're
not good.
They're slightly backed into a corner there with their flexibility. Yeah, I'd say bench advantage. Well, as far as like matchups, that goes Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, they complete their bench out with Dan Johnson and Desmond Jennings. And then Texas has Mitch Moreland, Jeff Francoeur, and David Murphy. And Francoeur, he looked hot to end the season, but I'm not going to put a lot of faith into Jeff Francoeur. Just call it history.
No.
I would agree. Just based on flexibility alone, I'd give the advantage to Tampa Bay here. Getting into the real meat of this series would be pitching. And I really, without punching the numbers, just going off memory, I would have handed the rotation award to Tampa Bay, but I don't know. I really like Texas's rotation. I mean, the game one starters have officially been named as Price and Cliff Lee. And that, it's going to be in Tampa. Cliff Lee, he hasn't pitched great in Texas, but he's not going to be pitching at home. He's going to be pitching in Tampa Bay. So, I mean, I think that one, Price has had a great season, but I think I would go advantage Cliff Lee in game one.
This is like, I got the report that Price was going to be starting against Lee, so it was going to be a lefty-on-lefty matchup. So I specifically looked up each offense against left-handed starters this season. The Rays are batting .246 with a .729 OPS against left-handed starters, while the Rangers are hitting .271 with a .732 OPS. Now, those are close, but when I looked more specifically at each player, the Rays had players such as Sean Rodriguez, who was hitting well against lefties, or Matt Joyce, or players who didn't really play into a factor as much, whereas the Rangers had players like Josh Hamilton, who was hitting .330 off lefties, Vlad Guerrero, who's hitting .310, Nelson Cruz, who's hitting over .300. More of their impact players were more successful against the left-handed starters. So as far as game one, I was torn. I saw Cliff Lee. I saw the highlights of Cliff Lee pitching at the Trop earlier this season. I didn't like it. He did not look good at all. But the Rangers' offense, they seem to hit well against left-handed starters. I really didn't know which way to lean on this.
Yeah, based strictly on pitching, I think I would go advantage Cliff Lee, but I'm not sure I would give the win to the Rangers. Just because, I mean, you've got Hamilton coming back from the injury. This is going to be his first game, and I'm not even sure how long he's been out for.
I believe he did play the last game of the regular season, but prior to that, it was September 4th.
Yeah, so, I mean, with only one game and limited time at that, there could still be a little bit of rust there. So if Cliff Lee has a dominating performance, I could still see a 1-0 loss or a 2-1 loss.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll have to get back to the game predictions once we finish the full wrap up here. Going game two, I believe the Rays would go Matt Garza, and I think Texas will be combating with CJ Wilson, who has been a surprise this year.
You see, with that one, I'm leaning towards Matt Garza. I believe it was 2008 postseason. He performed really, really well.
He was a monster.
I think he either did win or should have won the ALCS MVP for his performance. He's got a no-hitter this year. Of course, that doesn't mean much since Edwin Jackson also has one, so do four other pitchers. I'd go Matt Garza in game two. I like how he's pitched, and I like his experience over Colby Lewis. Again, Texas has not been in the postseason since 99, and that's before any of these players were on the team. So while some of the players will have postseason experience, was it Colby Lewis or CJ Wilson?
CJ Wilson, I assume, is going to be pitching game two.
Yeah, CJ Wilson, he's young. I'm gonna give the edge to Matt Garza in this one.
I give the edge to Garza as well. Like I said, CJ Wilson's had a surprising year, but he is still a converted reliever, so he may not be used to having such a heavy workload.
Right.
Going game three, I think this is where the Rays will plug in James Shields, and then you'll see Colby Lewis making his playoff debut for the Rangers. This one, I've got to go advantage Colby Lewis. James Shields, he comes up big in hot and tight spots,
big
but
game, James.
He hasn't looked good for the entire year. Yeah, I'm not really sure what he's done to earn that.
Well,
nickname.
I think it was more or less the 2008 postseason. I think
it's just because it rhymed.
Oh, that too. I think he did win the only game the Rays won in the World Series, I believe.
Yeah.
He pitched well against Boston. I think it was because of the 2008 postseason.
Yeah, and he hasn't looked very good this year.
No, he's not been their ace, which is what he was supposed to be.
Yeah, you expect Shields to have your top numbers. I mean, he had a 5.18 ERA, which is just terrible. He did give them 200 innings. He had 187 strikeouts, so he had a fairly good year. But the 5.18 ERA and the 1.461 WHIP is not
it's
looking good in his
base
favor.
Runners, the issue.
Yeah, and on the other hand, Colby Lewis has actually had a pretty dynamite year. So for Game 3, I'd go advantage Rangers based strictly on the
right.
rotation.
And Game 3 is in Texas.
Very true. Game 4, it was a tough call for the Rays fourth starter, but I think they'll go Jeff Niemann, but they could go Wade Davis. I think that one could go either way.
I think they'll pitch Niemann. Maybe Davis is a rookie. I think they'll possibly shut him down until, like, they'll have him in the bullpen, obviously, but I don't think he'll start in this postseason. Niemann's only has one more year of experience than Davis, but I still see them going Niemann over Davis.
Yeah, and the Rangers will combat with Tommy Hunter, and regardless of who the Rays throw, I think sometime down the line, the advantage will go Davis if he were the starter, but I'd go advantage Tommy Hunter, but I'm not really big on Tommy Hunter either. I think that one's kind of
Tommy
a wash.
Hunter is a guy who wins you games, but doesn't put up great numbers.
I'm not even sure I would go that far. I would say Tommy Hunter keeps you
well,
in the game.
Well, I mean, like, I believe at one point in this season he was 9-0 or 10-0, so he was winning the games for him. His numbers, he had like a 3.3 ERA, maybe higher. Doesn't strike out a lot.
I don't know. I'm not really confident either way.
So pretty much in games 3 and game 4, games 3 and 4, it could be very, very offensive.
Yeah,
especially being
in
Texas.
Games 1 and 2. Yeah, I feel games 1 and 2 would be low scoring affairs. Games 3 and 4, if it comes to it, would be shootouts. And then come back to game 5 and you've got Price against
Lee. Which is where bullpen comes into play. How do you compare the bullpens? You got Neftali Feliz closing for the Rangers, and then for the Rays, you got Rafael Soriano, who's known for his 9-pitch, 3-strikeout inning.
Yeah, for the bullpens, closers, I definitely go advantage Rays. Soriano, he's got the experience factor over Feliz, not in the playoffs, obviously, but overall career, he has the experience over Feliz. Feliz isn't—he's not used to this workload. He's not used to the playoffs. I've liked his year, but I think there's a strong chance there for Feliz to just implode in these playoffs. I mean, I may be dead wrong on that, but I think if somebody in this series just falls apart, I think I would go Neftali Feliz.
He has looked very shaky at moments. Like, he's had his moments where he's looked like his control wasn't great. I mean, like, he throws hard and he has some breaking stuff, but there have been times where he's just like he's lost his composure.
Yeah, and to complete out the bullpens, I mean, Texas, they have strong guys. They've got Darren O'Day and Darren Oliver. I think Oliver they would throw mainly against lefties. O'Day's the kind of guy that could come in any situation. They have Alexi Ogando. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know a ton about Alexi Ogando, but it seems like they'd be willing to throw him in any situation. And then to round it out, I know Rich Harden did not make the roster for the Rangers. I believe none of the rosters have really been officially named yet, But I believe Scott Feldman, Matt Harrison, Dustin Nippert, and Derek Holland will round out the Rangers bullpen. And they're all solid, but they're just guys. I mean, most of those guys are just going to come in for mop-up duty. I don't think any of them will be the deciding factor for the Rangers. For the Rays, they've got Grant Balfour and Joaquin Benoit as their chief setup men. And those two, these two guys, they've been shutdown guys this year. Joaquin Benoit especially has had a huge year out of the Rays bullpen. So, I mean, that could be a deciding factor. Both those guys can be thrown in any situation.
Right.
They have Randy Choate and Lance Cormier. I think Cormier would be the guy you throw against lefties. To round it out, Jeremy Hellickson will obviously make the roster. I think with him you could be looking at a David Price situation from 08, where he comes in and gets the big innings for the bullpen. You've got Chad Qualls. He's got professional experience. Andy Sonnenstein will be around. He was around for the 08 roster. And either like Wade Davis will make it. I'm not sure that Jake McGee will make the cut, but Wade Davis will be there. So I think in general the Rays have a much more solid top to bottom bullpen.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I like the Rays bullpen a lot more than the Twins. Really, the only, like, outside of Feliz, the only bullpen pitcher for the Rangers that I think has had a, like, I think his year is worth noting is Darren Oliver. I mean, and more so because it's been a surprise, like, Darren Oliver at this age, how has he been that good? But he's actually been pretty good.
Yeah, Oliver's been solid. Don't sleep on Darren O'Day. Darren O'Day's a guy, they'll throw him in any situation. Right. He's got a 2.03 ERA. He's made 72 appearances, and he's only struck out 45 guys. He's not a dominating guy, but he'll come in and get some people out. I think he's definitely the person they'll go to if they get into a tight spot. So basically, now after going through everybody, I mean, we can go game one. Obviously, we said Price and Lee. I think the bullpen's not going to be a huge factor here. I think Price and Lee will both go deep into the game. So it's going to come down to overall offense. And like I said, the Rangers have the strong outfield, but I think overall offense, you go the Rays. I like the Rays to win game one.
I agree with you. I like the Rays. And I like the Rays at home. I like the Rays against Cliff Lee. I like the Rays. I'm pretty sure that the Rays speed is going to play a major factor, especially on that carpet. Like, I really think they're going to give Benji Molina fits.
Yeah, I can definitely agree there. Game two, we agreed was Matt Garza versus C.J. Wilson. This one, I think Garza's got the ability to go deeper into the game than Wilson. So I think I would give this one to the Rays also.
I go Rays as well.
Okay, and then if we're looking at game three, we decide that'd be Colby Lewis against James Shields. Now this, I think, Shields has the ability to go deep, but he hasn't looked good this year, and this is going to be in Texas. And as we agreed, this could be a high-scoring affair. I see this one going advantage Texas.
I agree, because I think Texas offense plays their offense is more fit for their ballpark, obviously, than Tampa Bay's. I'd say Tampa Bay's is built around – it's mostly built around speed, and to where Texas is built around power. And I'd say Texas has got the better power advantage.
Yeah, Texas, they know their field. They don't get a lot of strong contact guys, but they do get a lot of power threats.
So I go
– And Texas is a power stadium.
I go advantage Texas in game three.
Now, game four is the interesting one. That's when you have Tommy Hunter against Jeff Niemann. Now, I think the huge factor here is Price and Garza both going late into the games in games one and two, because in this game, obviously, I think you would rely on your bullpens. And since I'm not sure that you could trust Colby Lewis to go deep in game three, game three, this could be the third game in a row that the Rangers bullpen really gets tested again. And with the Rays having a fairly fresh bullpen, I think I go Rays here, and I think I like the Rays to win this series 3-1.
I agree with you. I had just to tell you an overall series. I had the Rays winning in series 3-2. I would pick the Rangers to win game four, simply because I think Darren Oliver, he's been solid out of the bullpen. I think he can actually eat innings for you as well. Not only being a strictly lefty matchup kind of guy, he can maybe be out there for two, three innings if you need him. Like, maybe an innings eater out of the bullpen. So I could see I see the Rays winning the overall series, but I'm gonna push it to a game five.
Okay, so we're both agreeing the Rays are gonna win. You're going 3-2. I'm going 3-1. So that'll be something we'll have to check back on once that series is over. Moving on into the other American League Divisional Series, we have the Twins against the Yankees, and this one, as far as first round matchups, I think this one has the makings of being probably the most exciting.
Right. If you want to look at historical evidence to choose your winner, you obviously go with the Yankees. But if you were like some of us who went with historical evidence last year and chose the Red Sox to beat the Angels, that's clearly not a good idea and not a good supporting factor for like predictions. So I did my research on this series. Again, just like the Rays and Rangers series, they matched up pretty well like against each other. Very similar pitching, very similar offense. The Yankees did have the edge in offense. However, no surprise to me at least, the Twins had the edge in pitching.
Yeah, top to bottom, I think on paper the Yankees look like – I mean this looks like a complete mismatch just because of the names involved. But one thing to keep in mind, Minnesota is a younger team. The Yankees, they're battle-tested, but some of these players are – I mean let's say it, they're aging. I won't say old for most of them, but some of them are getting up there in years. Starting at the top for catcher, you have Joe Mauer against Jorge Posada. This is a no-brainer. Joe Mauer – has really developed into the best catcher in the game.
Right. I would take Posada if it were 7-8 years ago, but Posada's just he's past his prime. He's nearing the end of his career, and Joe Mauer is just into his prime. Not to mention defensive purposes, I'd say Mauer is a great leap ahead of Jorge Posada.
By far. Moving down first base, I mean this should have been a lot closer. I don't think it's a blowout. Mark Teixeira hasn't had his strongest year. I still think you give him the point over Michael Kudaier, but I think Kudaier could end up having a pretty big playoff overall for the Twins. I think early on, just looking at this, the Twins are really going to rely on Michael Kudaier to provide that spark that's missing with Justin Morneau out of the lineup. Moving into second base, you've got Orlando Hudson against Robinson Cano, and this one, hands down, advantage Yankees. Cano's had a huge offensive year. The big advantage for Hudson would be his defense, but Cano's actually made huge improvements this year to his defense, to where I think the defense would actually be closer to a wash and Cano takes because of huge offensive
advantage. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think defense at second base will play as much, because Cano is not a terrible defensive second baseman. So I think you really have to look more into the offensive numbers here and go Robinson Cano.
Yeah. Third base, we've got the rookie Danny Valencia for the Twins and Alex Rodriguez for the Yankees. I mean, this one's actually kind of a funny matchup just because he's an up-and-comer, but I mean, career-wise, he doesn't have the numbers that A-Rod has. But A-Rod, he hasn't had his usual A-Rod year. So I think with Valencia playing hot down the stretch, this could actually be a close one.
Right. One thing I would like to point out, though, as we say, like, A-Rod hasn't had his usual A-Rod year. However, he did finish in the top five in RBIs, and I believe he was also up there in batting average as well. Maybe, maybe not. I know we finished up in the top five in two statistics, one of them being RBIs. So while he was hurt for a lot of the year and missed some time, he did have some pretty solid numbers. And another thing we want to look at is postseason experience. Now, A-Rod has had – obviously it was last year where he had his postseason success, but that's just one year. I mean, he's been in the playoffs many, 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 many years and seen his struggles quite often. So – how do we know which A-Rod we're going to get offensively, especially against a very good Twins pitching staff?
I don't know. I've never bought into the A-Rod postseason struggles. If you actually look at his full numbers, not just his New York numbers, he's appeared in 8 postseasons. He's got a .302 batting average. His OPS is .977. It's down from I thought it would be down. That's actually above his career numbers. So, I mean, if you choose to cherry pick a couple of series that he was with the Yankees, basically the 05 and 06 Yankees, he did have poor numbers, but I mean, I think the talk of his inefficiencies in the playoffs have really been a tad overrated.
Yeah, I guess if you throw those numbers out there, they don't play much into a factor.
Yeah, I mean, it gets talked about by New York writers just because they love to blame everything on A-Rod, but I mean, A-Rod really
well,
hasn't
paid,
been
he's
as
getting
big
paid $27.5 million a year. I mean, he can take it. He better be able to take it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if you're making that much money in New York, you should have thick
yes.
skin.
Either way, postseason struggles or not, I'm still going to go A-Rod. Advantage A-Rod.
Yeah, I think you have to at this point. This one, it's another one that seems like a total mismatch on paper. It's Minnesota's J.J. Hardy against Derek Jeter. I think I'm going to go advantage J.J. Hardy. He's had a stronger year than Jeter.
Right. Again, I guess I'm going to say postseason Derek Jeter, though. We're talking about someone who is, I believe top five or top 10 in home runs all time. However, he has played in some of the, like, most, he has career highs and or all-time highs in games played in the postseason as well. So that doesn't hurt. I don't know. I think I'm going to go Jeter on this one. I can't pick J.J. Hardy against Derek Jeter. Jeter did struggle a little bit in August and September, but I think I'm still going to go Derek Jeter here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't fault you for that. I have a gut feeling that this one could sway the
right.
Twins
we
way.
We could be in for a lot of surprises in this series.
We very well could be. For the Twins outfield, you have Delmon Young, Denard Spahn, and Jason Kubel. And for the Yankees, they have Brett Gardner, Curtis Granderson, and Nick Swisher. This one, it's tough to call. I think the best outfielder out of the bunch all around, that's still tough to call.
I would go Delmon Young.
I'd say Delmon Young definitely for the Twins, but Nick Swisher's had a strong year for the Yankees. I think those two could end up being a wash. I think if you compare Spahn to Granderson, Granderson takes it hands down. And if you compare Gardner to Kubel, both of them bringing up the rear, I think you go Gardner. So I think overall outfield, you have to go
right.
Yankees.
I don't know how much defense is going to play into this series, but if you go outfield defense, I go to the Yankees. Offensively, I think the Yankees offer more power offensively in the outfield than the Twins do, because Granderson is a 20-20-20-20-20 guy. And then obviously there's Swisher who hit 20, 25, however many he hit. Gardner's not a huge power threat, but he'll hit for contact and he'll get on base. I would say advantage Yankees in the outfield.
Yeah, but if we do talk about history, I think something it may not end up being an issue, but it could. The last time Curtis Granderson was in the playoff, he had a costly error that ended up costing the Tigers a game in the World Series, if you remember correctly. He slipped in the outfield on David Eckstein's hit.
He had an error, but that was more Mother Nature, I'd say, than his fault. It was a very, very, very wet field.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he was at fault for it, but that's something that could stick in his head. I mean, if they play anything like that on ESPN leading up to the playoffs, that's something that really could stick to him if he's the kind of guy that doesn't take criticism that well.
Right.
So
well, if you also want to look at that, postseason history, Granderson offensively didn't really have that good of a postseason. I mean, his World Series numbers, I think he was hitting below 200.
That's very true. The bench, unlike the other series, I mean, this one, it's almost not even worth talking about. It's advantage Yankees, hands
right.
down. If they've got to rely on a backup catcher in a pinch, it's Francisco Cervelli against Drew Butera. Butera will offer the Twins absolutely nothing. Alexi Casilla, he's their only real middle infield help, and he can only really play second base, which isn't a huge help. Nick Punto could play third, and I think if it was in an extreme pinch, you could rely on him to play short, but he's not going to give you any offensive help. And Jason Repko, he can play right field, but like you said, with Kudaier and Kubel both available for right field duties, I don't think he's going to come up. Whereas the Yankees actually have Lance Berkman and Austin Kearns. Now, those are two guys, their bench work could end up actually helping the Yankees a lot more than some may think.
Their bench could play significant time in the series. Like, they could, Berkman could slot in there for DH at one point in this game.
Yeah.
Which we haven't,
yeah, oh,
we haven't,
oh,
gone,
I'm
over.
Sorry, we actually skipped DH. Yeah, I completely forgot. You've got Jim Thome and Marcus Thames. But I really, this isn't so much Thome against Thames as it is Thames and Berkman. Yeah, I just think you're going to see a natural platoon there between Thames and Berkman.
Right.
And Kearns, actually, he could play a factor in this with his ability to play right field, left field, DH, and he could actually, if need be, play first base.
Play first. I don't see Teixeira going down with any kind of injury, though, so I'd say Berkman is your backup first baseman if you even need him.
Yeah. So, yeah, bench advantage Yankees. I think overall, offense and bench, I'm going to have to go Yankees. But looking at pitching, game one starters are Francisco Liriano and CeCe Sabathia. I mean, that one, you go Sabathia on paper. Liriano, he's looked good. He actually today was announced as the American League Comeback Player of the Year. But I just don't know that I like him in the playoffs against CeCe Sabathia. He also hasn't really shown that he can handle the workload that he's taken
right
on this year.
I'm going to go advantage CeCe in that matchup because CeCe's a horse. He's going to eat innings for you as well. He may pitch a good 8 innings, no matter how much he's getting shelled, which I don't think he will, but I think he's going to outperform Francisco Liriano. I don't think Liriano will go deep into this game, though, because of his injury history.
I think that's true. In game two, you're going to have who I feel is the recipient of the Clay Zavatta Award for Best Mustache in the playoffs, Carl Pavano. He's going to be taking on the returning Andy Pettit. This one, I don't know how I feel. Pettit did not have a great game coming back on Sunday. He's coming back from an injury. He's a huge X factor in this series. On one hand, you have the fact that Pettit is an aging pitcher coming back from an injury who did not look good in his first start back on Sunday. On the other hand, you're talking about Andy Pettit in the playoffs.
Right. One thing I just want to point out, for my own personal interest, I wish this matchup would have been in Yankee Stadium, because I would have loved to hear the ovation Carl Pavano gets at Yankee Stadium for only having pitched 9 games in his 3 or 4 years in a Yankee uniform.
You would break decibel records for the amount of booze they give the mustachioed
wonder. I know,
wonder.
But I would just love to see that matchup. Nevertheless, I'm going to go Carl Pavano in this one. I don't think, unless the Twins offense just performs horribly against left-handed pitchers, I'm going to go Carl Pavano in this game.
I'm begrudgingly going to go Carl Pavano, and I'll tell you why. This game is going to be in Minnesota, as you said. Pettit's coming back from an injury, and it's going to be in the cold night of Minnesota. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do physical activity when you're hurting, but it definitely you feel it a lot more in the cold than in a hot weather game or a warm weather game. I think that could maybe affect Pettit's injury. Plus, I mean, Pavano may only go 5 innings, but the mustache could go 3 by itself.
I can't argue with that. To be fair, though, it's cold. It's not warm in New York, I don't believe. I mean,
it's not warm, but it's not Minnesota cold.
Yeah, I'm going Pavano over Pettit. I mean, Pettit, he's got the most career wins in the postseason of any starting pitcher ever, but that was Andy Pettit.
He's a playoff.
That was Andy
wonder.
Pettit in his prime. I've got to go Carl Pavano.
Okay. For game three, right now it's looking like it's going to be Brian Dunsing for the Twins, and it'll definitely be Phil Hughes for the Yankees. This one, it's another iffy one. I mean, Dunsing, he's looked good in his starts, but he's a converted relief pitcher, and he's got an injury. So this one, I feel you. It's going to be back in New York. I go advantage Phil
Hughes.
I
go advantage Hughes as well. I will point out, I don't like the fact that he is starting. However, they really have no other options.
I think he's their best option to start in that position. You obviously don't want to go Javier Vasquez. He's looked absolutely terrible this year.
I don't think you can trust Javier Vasquez to pitch an inning in this postseason. He's not looking good.
You won't have to. Javier Vasquez did not make the playoff roster.
Wow.
Yeah, they were. I know that they had it down to Ivan Nova and Sergio Mitre. I believe they went with Nova. I don't think Mitre made the roster either.
Mm.
But that'll be a bullpen discussion. Game four, you're going to be looking at. This one's going to be a tough one. For the Twins, I'm not sure if they would go Nick Blackburn or Kevin Sloe. The Yankees obviously would go AJ.
Actually,
Burnett.
I read on a report today, Burnett may not pitch in game four. Which.
You think they go Sabathia?
I think they may go Nova, to be honest.
That could change things. If they went Burnett, I think I would take him over either Blackburn or Slowey, just because it's at home. And I think that Blackburn and Slowey are both they're not young, but they're young into their career, and you're going to be in front of a rabid Yankees fan base.
I think, either way, even if they do go Nova, I think Nova has been solid for the Yankees. I think I'd go advantage Yankees, either Burnett or Nova.
This one, if it was Nova, I would give him maybe a very slight edge, but I'm not too sure there. Looking at bullpens, closer's not a discussion. Matt Capps has looked solid since the trade to the Twins, but if you bet against Mo Rivera, you're not going to be walking out with money.
We could point out the fact that Mariano Rivera has looked awful lately.
But
it's postseason. I know it's postseason Mariano Rivera.
Yeah,
what are the odds? But
even if Mariano Rivera went into a postseason with a ERA of 75, I don't know why he would still have his job, but I would still bet on Mariano Rivera to be a huge difference.
Why wouldn't he have his job?
He's Mo in the playoffs. You don't bet against Mo in the playoffs. This is fact. I think it's in the Bible.
He could sit out the entire year, and the Yankees would just be like, dude, we're in October. We need you.
So, yeah, advantage Yankees on the closer. Overall bullpen, no question. Advantage Twins. You've got, honestly, I think your best option out of the bullpen going into the playoffs with the momentum is Kerry Wood. And I'm going to repeat that just for effect. The Yankees' best option in their bullpen is Kerry Wood.
I think that David Robertson is a solid bullpen pitcher. He's definitely a good sixth and
like
seventh inning guy.
Yeah, but I mean, for meaningful innings, you're going to be looking at Kerry Wood and Jabba Chamberlain. Chamberlain's looked shaky down the stretch, and
I fully expect to see Jabba Chamberlain implode in this postseason. Like, I really, really think he's going to get shelled in any time he sees.
He could get attacked by flies
he
again.
He could. But,
and I'm just going to repeat one more time for effect. If it comes into a tight spot, the Yankees would have to rely on Kerry Wood. So
the presence has been felt.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Plus, there's something that we cannot forget. There's a long-standing curse. The team with the most prominent ex-Cubs do the worst in the playoffs. And in this one, you've got to go Yankees and Braves. They have Kerry Wood and Derek Lee. Kerry Wood is a symbol of all that has gone wrong with the Cubs over the last decade.
Right.
It could play a big factor. It's superstition, but I don't know. It's one I like just because I don't like the Cubs. But when we're talking about the Twins bullpen, it's a very good bullpen. McAreer and John Roush are two shutdown setup men. If the Twins have leads going into the seventh inning on any game, I like them to shut it down because John Roush and Greer can get the game to Caps. He's not a shutdown closer, but he's the kind of guy that will get the job done.
They could even platoon Roush and Caps in the ninth inning if they wanted. So I'm going to go advantage Twins.
Yeah, I mean, huge advantage in that you've got Caps, Roush, and Fuentes, who all have closing experience. And one thing you have to mention about Fuentes, in his career with the Twins, zero runs. He's allowed not one run.
Oh, wow.
He's been absolutely dominating with the Twins. And then you have Jesse Crane and Jose Mijares to round out the bullpen, and it's dominating. And then if you get into a pinch, you need a long man, you've got Kevin Sloe, who is a good starter. So, yeah, advantage Twins in the bullpen. So, I mean, if you're looking at game one, neither one of us like Liriano to go deep, but the Twins have the bullpen to last. But it's going to be Sabathia. This one, I don't know. It's going to be in Minnesota, but with Sabathia pitching, I think I go advantage Yankees. I think the Twins might take at least until the second game to get their offense
clicking.
I think
the Yankees are going to win game one. Yes.
Okay, and then we've got Andy Pettit against Carl Pavano game two. And like I said, I don't know, with the cold weather in Minnesota, I kind of go advantage Twins here with the mystery behind Pettit's injury. And Pavano's another guy that couldn't go deep. And once again, the bullpen can really pull Minnesota out of a tight spot.
Yeah, I go Pavano, advantage Twins.
For game three, we've got Dunsing and Phil Hughes. This one, it's a tough one to call. I think both games could end up going to the bullpen. And even though Minnesota, we've said this could be the third time they get taxed, I like Minnesota in this game.
I'm going to go Yankees in this game, actually.
Okay. For game four, we've got Blackburn or Slowey against Burnett or Nova. It's in New York. I liked Burnett and Nova, so I think I'm going to go Yankees in this one.
I like Nova, and I like Nova more than I like Burnett. I think the Twins are going to take this game regardless because I don't see either pitcher getting to Rivera successfully. Like, I don't see them pitching well enough, long enough to get straight to Rivera, and I don't think the Yankees bullpen coming in will pitch well enough to get to Rivera, so I'm going to go advantage Twins in this one.
Okay, so then we both have it going back to a game five in Minnesota, and we're back to Liriano against Sabathia. And this one, that would definitely have the makings of an exciting game. I think I go advantage Twins.
See, this is where I'm going Yankees. I have the Yankees winning the series in five. It's going to be a lot tougher than the past Yankees-Twins playoff series. It's going to be exciting for once. But I still think the Yankees are going to end up taking it.
Okay, so right now it's looking like for the American League, I have the Rays and Twins with the Twins winning in five. You have Rays and Yankees with the Yankees winning in five. Mm-hmm. So that's one area where we could differ a little bit. One area where we've spoken a little bit ahead of time and we don't differ, Philadelphia, I definitely favor over Cincinnati.
Right, I do too, and I don't feel the need to break this one down as thoroughly as the previous two series because I have the Phillies winning in four. I gave the Reds a courtesy game. Edison Volquez is pitching game one for the Reds.
I hate that decision.
I think that is a horrible decision. You can't. First of all, you can't trust him. You don't know how well he's going to pitch. You don't know which Edison Volquez you're going to get. You're just risking arm injury again. It's Dusty Baker at his finest, pretty much. Dusty Baker, if you're looking for a way out of town, he just got signed to a contract extension, but he's not helping his chances by potentially ruining a young arm like Edison Volquez.
I will say I'm not really sure how I feel about the decision to start Volquez. I wouldn't have gone with him there just because he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. But on the other hand, who do you start?
I would have honestly started – it sounds crazy, but I would have started Arroyo. He's looked solid this year. He's got playoff experience. You're facing Roy Halladay. What have you got to lose? You're not going to beat Roy Halladay.
Well, what you've got to lose is the fact that Arroyo is a lefty.
No, Arroyo's a righty.
No,
he's a right-handed pitcher.
Son of a bitch. I'll cut that out. just what you've got to lose. Arroyo, he's Bronson Arroyo. Yeah, we said we weren't going to look at this one closely, and I really don't think we have to. I mean, Halladay, Hamels, Oswalt. If it comes to a game four, you've got Joe
Oswalt's,
Blanton.
Oswalt's
really
starting game two, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Halladay, Oswalt, yeah. Hamels.
I gave the Reds a courtesy game. I gave them a game that they would win. I think they'll win a game, but the Phillies are going to dominate this series. I really don't. It's not that close.
Yeah. I don't think they'll dominate the series. I think it could actually be some close matchups. The Phillies pitching is solid, more than solid, top to bottom. The offense is actually really closely matched. And the Reds, I think you could argue they have the better bullpen, but I think the issue, what it's going to come down to here is starting pitching.
I'm not sure that the Phillies are going to need their bullpen, to be honest. They've got three horses on their team in their rotation.
Yeah, I agree. So, like, that's Cincinnati's bullpen advantage may not even come into play. So, I mean, you've got Phillies 3-1 with the courtesy game. I won't even give the Reds the courtesy game. I think the Phillies are going to sweep.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they swept. I'm still going to pick the Phillies in 4.
Okay, so that brings us to our last divisional series. It's the San Francisco Giants against the Atlanta Braves. Now, both these guys are lucky to have drawn each other, because they both had to play meaningful games down the stretch. If this would have got split up, you would have had both of them having to face fresh teams in the Phillies and Reds. But since they have to face each other, that advantage is gone, or disadvantage, rather. And that makes this a pretty close matchup. For a catcher, you've got the rookie Buster Posey against Brian McCann. Normally, I would say Brian McCann, but Posey has had a very solid year.
I'm going to be honest. Also because of defensive purposes.
Yeah, I definitely call for the push. Posey's defense makes this a lot closer. For first base, San Francisco has Aubrey Huff. Atlanta has the new acquisition, Derek Lee. This one, I don't know. This could be a really close call I think I go push on this.
I'm going to go Aubrey Huff on this one because Derek Lee has not looked good in a Braves uniform. I'm going to go Aubrey Huff on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has the makings of being a pretty close matchup there. I mean, it's not really a matchup per se. Derek Lee, he hasn't looked too bad as a Brave. He's got a .287 average and an .849 OPS. Those aren't his MVP caliber numbers, but his MVP caliber seasons are long, long
ago.
Maybe
it was just the very, very slow start that was hampering my decision.
Yeah. I think you go Huff. I think I stick with push here. Second base, you've got Freddy Sanchez and Omar Infante. I think defensive advantage goes to Freddy Sanchez, but offensive, you'd have to go Omar Infante.
Right. Infante is fighting for a batting title, though he did not get it this season. Freddy Sanchez, former batting champion. I'm going to go Infante. And with Infante, you have the ability to play multiple positions, even though with the injury to Prado, he will not be able to.
Yeah, it would have been increased flexibility, but yes, it's kind of a wash. For third base, you've got Pablo Sandoval and Brooks Conrad. This, you would think, would be advantage Sandoval. Sandoval hasn't really looked that good this year.
He's been very, very cold. Like,
no, I really go Brooks Conrad.
I'm still going to go advantage Sandoval, but it scares me. He's looked cold, but I'm still going to pick Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah, I like what I see in Brooks Conrad. I don't think he's their everyday third baseman going
forward.
Could
they potentially play?
But he's done a very serviceable
job. Could they potentially play Troy Gloss at third?
I could see it depending on the matchups. I could definitely see that taking place. For shortstop, you've got Juan Uribe against Alex Gonzalez. Alex Gonzalez, he was looking good in Toronto, not so much at Atlanta. He hasn't looked terrible.
He's been a defensive. He's there for defense purposes.
Yeah, and I think that could be the difference in that. When Uribe's neither one of them are good offensively. Uribe's a little bit closer to
league
average.
He's got 24 home
runs,
though.
But Gonzalez's defense can make it better. Yeah, he's a power threat. But he's one of those guys that he can hit it over the fence if he hits it. For the outfield, definite advantage to the Giants here. You've got Pat Burrell, Andres Torres, and Jose Guillen. For the Braves, you have Matt Diaz, Nate McLouth, and Jason Hayward. The marquee player here obviously being Hayward, but the offense of the Giants is just staggering compared to the Braves. Diaz is not really much.
How shocked are we to say that? The offense of the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that and Aubrey Huff are really the only areas, and well, Posey also, are the only areas where they can claim any kind of offensive advantage. But yeah, the Braves, their offense, outside of Hayward, I really don't like their outfield.
Right.
If you're looking at the bench, Atlanta has a pretty solid bench. I think they, in this one, the bench advantage definitely goes Atlanta. You've got David Ross, who can go in and play catcher if need be. Need probably won't be, but he's also a good pinch hit bat. Eric Hinsky, he's a professional hitter. He could be a pinch hit option. Like you said, Troy Gloss gives him a lot of flexibility. If Derek Lee runs cold, he can play first. If Brooks Conrad kind of folds under the pressure, he can move to third
Hinsky
base.
Hinsky can play third
Gloss
as well, mind you.
Experience. Oh, that's also very true, yes. As an outfield, if they have Melky Cabrera and Rick Ankiel. This is one spot, not a real huge advantage there. Cabrera at least gives him a lot of defensive flexibility as he can play all three positions.
So can Ankiel.
Well, Cabrera can play them effectively.
Well, I mean, Ankiel, he's not a bad defensive player. Defensive outfield.
He's not, but I think the woes of his defense, or his offense, will outweigh any positives his defense would provide. For the bench, for the Giants, Eli Whiteside is their backup catcher. He won't factor into this. They have Mike Fontenot, former Cub, so that's one knock against them. They have Travis Ishikawa. They had to acquire Aubrey Huff to keep him out of first base, so I don't really see that they would use him. Cody Ross is actually a huge advantage. He can play right field if Jose Guillen runs cold, or he's just a great, great bat
he
off the bench.
Center field and left as well.
Can he play center? I knew he could
play
right.
He played
left.
Center in Florida before Cameron Maben took over.
Okay, so that's a definite tool that San Francisco can use, because Andres Torres is another guy that could fold in the playoffs. And then rounding out their bench is Edgar Renteria.
What about Aaron Rowan?
Aaron Rowan, I wasn't sure if he would be on the playoff roster. I mean,
I figured he would, given the fact that Torres is coming back from emergency appendectomy.
I can see if you go Rowan, you've got to drop either Fontenot or Renteria. Renteria gives you better offense. I think Fontenot gives you better defense. I don't know. Which of those two would you cut out for Rowan?
I would. That's a good point.
I personally would cut out.
I would cut out Fontenot. You can play Uribe at second base, like if you need
to.
Yeah,
with Sanchez and Uribe being fairly solid at defense, you don't really need the defensive substitution. Right. You'd rather use what little offense Renteria can provide. Right. For pitching. Game one will be obviously Tim Lincecum, and the Braves have named Derek Lowe as their game one starter.
I heard about that. I'm not sure I agree with that move, but it's Bobby Cox's
decision. No, that
one's
strong. Yeah, strong game one advantage to the Giants with that one. I on one hand, yeah, the Derek Lowe call, it's a really weird one, but none of the pitchers for the Giants, with the exception of Zito, are playoff tested. Lincecum could fold. I mean, it's up in the air, but I think I would safely go advantage Tim Lincecum.
Right. I'm going to go advantage Tim Lincecum.
Game two, we'll be seeing Matt Cain, obviously, for the Giants. And I'd like to think that Tim Hudson, the National League Comeback Player of the Year, would be starting game two for the Braves.
You'd think so, but...
Yeah, I mean, they could go Tommy Hanson there, but I think they would go Tim Hudson. Because he's got the experience.
Right. I'm going to go advantage Cain, though.
Yeah, if they go Hudson, I definitely agree. Advantage.
Keep in mind, they're pitching in San Francisco, a pitcher's ballpark. So.
Yeah. And Lincecum and Cain are both strong pitchers. Game three, back in Atlanta, you've got Barry Zito and Tommy Hanson. This one, I think hands down, advantage Tommy Hanson.
I think it's advantage Tommy Hanson, but I'm not sure how much, because he's been shaky.
Yeah, I mean, it could be close. And he's a younger guy. No playoff test there, and Zito's playoff tested.
Right.
I don't know how much it'll mean for Zito, but the lack of experience for Hanson.
Is it going to be Zito, or is it going to be Jonathan Sanchez?
See, I think Sanchez is going to be the game four starter against Jurgens.
I'm not even sure
Jurgens will be the game four starter.
They were considering putting Zito in the bullpen and putting Bumgarner as their fourth starter.
I really don't know. It hasn't been named yet. The way I see it, I think you'd see Zito third just because of the experience, and I think Sanchez four with Bumgarner in the bullpen. I think Bumgarner would be a huge asset for them out of the bullpen. I think you'd be more willing to rely on Bumgarner in the bullpen than Zito, just because Zito has no experience in the bullpen.
Right. Nevertheless, game four, I'm going to go Jonathan Sanchez advantage.
Yeah, I'm going to go advantage Sanchez because I'm not even sure who the Braves starter would be. I would think Jurgens, but he's kind of, if he is even named to the roster, he'd be coming back from an injury. So yeah, advantage Sanchez there. Closing pitchers, you've got Brian Wilson and Billy Wagner. That one's closer to call than you would
think.
I'd
say push.
I mean, Billy Wagner's, yeah, he's got the experience, but Brian Wilson, he's a fireballer.
Right. Well, so is Billy Wagner. Billy Wagner throws pure smoke.
Brian Wilson. Yeah. This one, yeah, it's definitely a push. They're very similar pitchers. If you're looking at setup men, the Giants have Sergio Romo and Santiago Casilla, and the Braves have Pete Moylan and Johnny Venters. I've got to go advantage Giants. Yeah. Venters may be the best out of the four, but he's a very young, very untested rookie, and Romo and Casilla are a really strong setup pair.
I go advantage Giants.
And then to round out, Giants have Jeremy Affelt, Javier Lopez, possibly Madison Bumgarner, and I believe Denny Bautista. I'm not really sure who they'd complete theirs with. The Braves would have Eric O'Flaherty, Chris Medlin, who could actually step in as the Game 4 starter, and Craig Kimbrell. In general, I think I'd go advantage Giants for the
bullpen. Yeah, I'm going to agree. I don't even know who the Braves' fifth starter is.
Well, Medlin had picked up quite a few starts. And then Mike Minor was picking up starts
down
the stretch, but I'm not sure.
That's right. They're not going to play him, and they're not going to start him in the postseason anyway.
I don't believe so. So game one, we've got Tim Lincecum, Derek Lowe. Like I go Giants in game one. It's in San Francisco.
I'm going Giants in game one and two.
Yeah, I would agree on game two. I mean, Kane against Hudson in San Francisco. I definitely go Kane. Game three, we're looking at possibly Barry Zito against Tommy Hansen. This is back in Atlanta. I'm going to give this one to Atlanta.
Yeah, I would go Atlanta as well.
And then game four, Sanchez against unknown. I'm going to go San Francisco, and I like San Francisco to take this one.
That's
3-1.
Exactly what I have is 3-1. San Francisco.
Yeah, I originally had the Braves going far, but after looking at it, I can't choose them.
And to be honest, they've struggled down the stretch. Like the Giants
they really
have at least looked good. The Braves have not.
Okay, so as a recap, we have for my playoffs, I have the Rays over the Rangers 3-1. I have the Twins over the Yankees 3-2. I've got the Phillies sweeping the Reds, and I have the Giants over the Braves 3-1.
I have the Rays over the Rangers 3-2. The Yankees over the Twins 3-2. The Phillies over the Reds 3-1, and the Giants over the Braves 3-1. So our only difference there, with the exception of how many games each series goes, is the Twins and Yankees series.
Yeah, and we're both calling for a fairly exciting AL and a fairly boring NL. Although the Giants-Braves, I like Giants 3-1. I think all four games could be very, very close.
I think the Giants-Braves series is actually going to be a good series. However, it is a late series because it's on the West Coast, so not a lot of people are going to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, another downfall of MLB. Right. We'll be back at the end of each one of these divisional series to recap what happened, why the winning team won, and how we like them going forward.
Stay tuned, and we enjoy having you guys listen, and thanks for supporting us.
Smith, Clark's one in the